I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Timo Elvis Daly, and we are back to preview the 10th round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Canadian Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by a friend of the podcast and on the Curbs Pub Chat co-host, Mr. Jacob Phillips. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, Timo. How are you doing?
Not too bad either. And it's not just Jacob joining us as well, because we're also joined by another friend of the podcast and Inside F2 host, Mr. Fraser Ford. How are you doing, mate?
All good. Thank you, Timo. Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, looking forward to discussing some of the major talking points from this week.
Well, perfect segue for you, basically, because normally, whenever we get you on this podcast, we ironically talk about Formula 3, but for once, we've got some Formula 2-ish related news, so I'm going to come to you straight away, because Arvid Lindblad's got himself a super license after Red Bull petitioned for it to be granted early, and he's now got it. So what do you make of all of that, and which driver is going to replace him when?
Listen, I wasn't surprised by the news. I think Arvid's had a really strong start to the season in Formula 2. I don't think this is a performance-related thing. We knew that Red Bull were looking into potentially getting a super license exemption for Arvid Lindblad pre-season. So I don't think it's necessarily in relation to his performance. I think obviously Max Verstappen picking up those extra penalty points in Barcelona last time out will have accelerated their push to get him those super license points, because if Max does pick up, it's only one single point, isn't it, to get a ban, then I think Arvid Lindblad will be the person that they do want to put in the in that seat, whether it be in the Red Bull seat or whether it be promote Hadjar to the senior team and Lindblad goes in at RB. I don't know. I don't think it really matters, because I think it's really unlikely. I think Max Verstappen will have a clean weekend in Canada, and then two points fall off his license, don't they? So it doesn't make that much of a big deal. But nevertheless, obviously a really interesting development, and Lindblad is good to go should his services be required.
I'm going to try and clip that bit from you just there about just having another clean weekend and hope that age is like milk by the end of the race weekend.
Absolutely.
And see what we can do on that front.
Saying it intentionally just to, if it does happen, I'll be rubbing my hands together thinking, yep, here we go, Arvid Lindblad in an F1 car. So
could Verstappen get banned for the Grand Prix, Jacob, or live up to my prediction from the start of the season and announce a shock retirement with immediate effect during the Canadian Grand Prix weekend? What do you think would be the best idea for which driver to stick into that Red Bull car? Because obviously Hadjar wouldn't say no to it, but everyone's kind of screaming at him, please don't do that, you're doing perfectly well in the racing course by yourself, don't ruin it. Lawson has experience, but I don't know if he'd want to go and traumatise himself again. Whereas Lindblad, he's kind of clean slate, and you're not necessarily expecting too much anyway, and Yuki Doubtin would be interesting for a team leader role for one or two races. But would Lindblad make the most logical choice to stick in the Red Bull car if it was only for a Grand Prix or two?
I think with the way you've seen recently with all the second drivers and any driver that steps into that seat, they probably all actually say no, given the lack of Lawson and Tsunoda. But for me, I think you've got to take recent results, you've got to take across the whole season. Lawson's, on that side, has had experience, obviously, in that car. He knows the team somewhat, having had the first two Grand Prix. As we know, he wasn't stellar in that car, but that tiny bit of experience, maybe on the simulator as well, may help him, may favour him. But if you take recent results, and there's been some fantastic results, isn't there, for Isaac Hadjar. So for me, just based on that form, I'm probably likely to take him. Lindblad is still very, very fresh, very young, but obviously having a fantastic season in F2. So I think I would stick him into the RB, or whatever you're calling them these days, and I would take Hadjar and stick him up into the main team.
Rare for us to disagree, but it's nice.
Thing is though, Timo, last season we saw Antonelli get an exemption. This year we're seeing Lindblad get an exemption. Is there
Great rule
actually
will
any
happen,
point?
isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, is there actually any point in the rule when anyone that applies seems to get an exemption? Like, I know that they are two exceptional talents in Kimi Antonelli and Arvid Lindblad, but I do wonder whether anyone that applied for ultimately, you're only realistically going to be applying for a super license if you are that good and if you're doing well in Formula Two, for example. And if they're that good and they're applying for it anyway, what's the point of having the rule? I don't really understand what the point of having the rule is if everyone's just going to get exempt.
I would quite like to see if there is a list of the other people who have applied for a super license have been rejected, and then we get like 20 names. Go, okay, fair enough. At least you are rejecting people for this. But as you say, we've had two names and they've both been accepted. You go, so it's really working out quite well as a rule here, isn't it? And again, it's yeah, what is the point of it? But as with many things with the FIA, it stays in the rules that they have. We are wondering what the bloody hell is the point. The other bit of news that we've got ahead of this weekend, though, is the 2026 calendar's been unveiled. A lot of it is pretty much as we expected, but there are some talking points because, of course, there are. And we talked a little bit about the Jacob, so I'll come to
It
you
has.
in a second, get Fraser's thoughts first before we go into the obvious. But to me, it comes across as a bit like how when they try and rearrange how a sprint weekend works, they have a perfect formula. Formula Two and Formula Three, and then they look at that and go, let's not do that, let's do something else, and they keep messing it up. And it looks like they're doing that with the calendar, Fraser. Is that also what you're thinking, or do you not mind it too much?
I don't know. I saw the news when it came out. My initial reaction that was, it's a shame from a motor, like a neutral motor fan, motorsport fan perspective, that it's a shame. I've loved in the past sitting down watching the Monaco Grand Prix, watching the Indy 500, and potentially watching Le Mans as well. Do you know what I mean? I've really enjoyed that as a general motorsport fan. The fact that we're not going to be able to do that does, particularly because it's Monaco, it does make me sad. And then the second point to it is, I don't fully understand why Formula One have decided to, put the race on at the same time as the Indy 500. Is there something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about? Is there more of a rivalry that, between Formula One and IndyCar than we potentially thought? I don't think there is. I didn't understand it. I thought it was quite inconsiderate of Formula One to drop it, particularly because it's Canada as well, to drop it at the same time as the Indy 500. If it was like Barcelona and it was earlier on that in the day, I don't think it would have been a big deal. But Canada is his. I understand Canada and Miami being grouped together. I completely understand that.
That
But
was the initial thing, right? Like, finally, they put them together, and then you're looking at, oh, but there's a 3 week gap for no reason, and also the weekend that they've chosen is the same one as the Indy 500. And as much as we love the Canadian Grand Prix, I mean, it's literally what we're here to preview. Who's going to choose it over the Indy 500? It feels really harsh. Like, if it was Spain, I wouldn't mind. If it was more or less any other race, A, I wouldn't mind, and B, it probably wouldn't clash anyway. You look at all the other away races in that time zone. With the exception of Brazil, I wouldn't mind missing it and doing that, but it's Canada. Everyone kind of likes that. It's a modern classic.
I don't think anyone's going to watch the Mexican Grand Prix over it, put it that way. But not ideal for me. I think it's smacks a bit of arrogance from F1, the fact that they can put a race at the same time as arguably the biggest race in the world. I believe this is the first time in F1 history that both races have clashed. And I think the messaging from F1 in the last sort of 3, 4, 5 years, certainly since Liberty took over, is this whole push for an American audience. We now have three Grand Prix on that side of the world, and maybe rumours of a fourth in the near future. But putting their biggest race, alienating that whole group of fans, considering they alienated a whole group of fans in 2005 at that very circuit with the tire gate back in 2005. You're not only alienating those fans, but fans across the pond here in the UK and Europe absolutely love IndyCar. I know, Timo, we always watch the Indy 500 every year, and I know what I'm going to do next year if it clashes. I think that for me, and it's very sad to say this, that the Canadian Grand Prix will take a back seat. And as you touched on there, Timo, for me, that whole 3 week gap, you've got weeks to play around with. Make them back to back. It would make so much sense. We've been calling out for moves like this for years because the calendar has felt a bit disjointed. And we have a season almost it comes to a standstill. You lose that momentum from the first nine races. If it's a good start, then why do we need to wait 3 weeks when they're literally, it's a long distance, of course, but it's not the distance that we travel, between Las Vegas and Qatar at the end of the season. We literally have a 5 day break. They'll leave there on the Sunday and they'll be there on Thursday for media day. So again, it's F1 arrogance. They probably haven't done any talking over with the IndyCar guys over in America. And hopefully a compromise will be sorted out, potentially moving the start time of one of the Grand Prix. But for me, I'm not too pleased with the calendar. Obviously, there's a few races on there that we expected to be on there. Madrid. I don't know how I feel about that, but it's certainly not very positive. And no Imola, that was to be expected. Sad to lose another classic track, but if I'm being very honest, the racing, maybe bar this year, hasn't been great there. So, yeah, I'd say not the best calendar overall for me.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back up to Canada for one more point there before picking up on the other bits, was in a press conference earlier with Scott McLaughlin, I mean, IndyCar driver who is obviously not going to be watching any of the Grand Prix that is on at the same time because he'll be busy competing in Indy 500, was saying how he and other drivers are already quite annoyed about it because what they would do is wake up in the morning, watch traditionally Monaco, they'd race in the Indy 500, and then they'd relax in the evening by watching the NASCAR race that's on that same day and have a really nice time with it. And I think he said he's been doing that for the last 10 years or whatever. And when he was growing up, they'd all kind of do this back in Australia and New Zealand to see how long we can stay awake for to try and get all of this motorsport action in a day. And that's kind of out the window immediately. And he goes, from a neutral perspective, that ruins that whole thing. And it's kind of messes up. I mean, it doesn't change what he does, but he understands the frustration there. And I think that is probably the word to describe a lot of the calendar because, again, two Spanish Grand Prix. It's odd. First time since 2012, I think, that we've had two Spanish
12.
Grand Prix.
2012, yeah.
It's a little bit like Italy in terms of I don't mind it, but it's not immediately obvious why we have it, and possibly even less so as to why two in Spain versus two in Italy, because at least with Italy you have Ferrari and there's more of a, I don't know, it just makes more sense if you're going to have two Grand Prix in Europe that it is Italy or the UK or somewhere where there's a strong tie with it. But
Or
Spain just seems a
head
bit
back
left
to
field.
Germany.
Well, yeah, I mean, two in the same country, I mean, if you're going to
But
do that.
yeah, there's so many more they could do, is what I'm saying.
I totally agree. I mean, I would love to see Grand Prix racing come back to Donington Park if we were up to two in the UK. So I'm a big advocate for that. But I'm same as you boys. I'm not listen. I'm willing to give Madrid a chance. I think let's wait and see how the first race is and maybe judge it after that. But I do agree with you both that two in the same country. I definitely would have liked Jacob. We were speaking on a separate group chat the other day, and I said the same as you. I was like, I would have loved to have gone back to Hockenheim, for example, or to Nürburgring, rather than go into a second race in Spain. But yeah, it's an interesting one. As I said, I'm willing to give Madrid a chance. What I'm not too best pleased with is the fact that Formula 3 season finale is going to be finishing at Madrid rather than Monza, that traditional season finisher. Timo, I'm a little bit gutted about that.
Most controversial season finale since 2021.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. We won't talk about that. But yeah, definitely. I think we've become so accustomed to the Formula 3 season finishing at Monza. It's going to be a bit odd not finishing a Formula 3 season at Monza. But yeah, as I said, willing to give it a chance, definitely.
Am I right
Yeah,
in saying that the rest of the calendar remains the same? I was looking through it yesterday and I didn't notice any other changes. It looks like we're going to all the same races
pretty
we did
much.
last,
It's just a
minus
slight shift
Imola
in
out.
dates and that sort of thing. It's mainly Canada at the Indy 500 was the main thing, Madrid being swapped for Imola.
Yeah.
Zandvoort's still there, but they announced yesterday the Grand Prix venue themselves that it'll be the last one
Yeah.
for quite a while from the
And that's
sounds of
going to
it.
be a sprint
And it'll
race,
be a
isn't it?
sprint race, yes,
Yeah.
which
That's very
sure,
weird.
why not, I guess. I don't care too much, but go for it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to pick locations for sprint races, why not go for the places that you can't overtake? You might as well put a sprint race at Monaco next year as well if you're going to do
Hey,
it at
those
Zandvoort. So.
cars are going to be 20 and 10 centimeters shorter and wider, so it's going to make all the difference, Fraser.
Fraser,
You wait.
please don't give them ideas, is all I'm going to say. They'll
Yeah,
probably try it.
don't. At least we get two qualifying sessions. That would be a positive. So.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd calendar, isn't it? I mean, you look at it, and like you say, even with the F2 and the F3, they clearly want to make a big push with Madrid and give it all the beans on the first go to see if it works. And you never know, Jacob, it might do for us what Las Vegas did for us. And we went in with an incredibly low bar that was practically praying on the floor, and it exceeded expectations, and we're quite pleasantly surprised by it year after year so far. But I don't know if we can have lightning strike twice though.
Hey, I actually quite like Las Vegas, and I think Timo, I said to you when it was first announced that it might be one of the worst races or the worst tracks or the worst events of all time, and
That's
I
the
don't hate
headspace
it.
we need to go into Madrid with.
Have you seen the track layout and the onboard? They've done some onboards and some various racing simulators. It looks horrible. But anyway, as Fraser said, we'll I guess we'll save judgment for next September.
Interestingly.
When it comes to home insurance, GEICO works for you. And since I'm the GEICO Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this Remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Air horn.
Oh, yeah.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
The one calendar that wasn't released on the same day, because we got F1, we got F2, F3, Formula E even, and World Rally Championship as well, I think. Not World Rally Championship, but the off one of the ones. I think there were a lot of calendars thrown about, but F1 Academy wasn't one of them, which I thought was a bit bizarre, because if you're going to release all of the F1 related ones in one go, why not include it? We can probably work out where they're going to some extent, but at the same time, a bit odd that we're going to have to wait a bit longer for that. They usually go to the same few places, and we're probably going to get one or two new venues because they like to switch things up a bit, which means that Japan could be on the list for next year. We could have Mexico and Brazil added on, as they don't have anything. I'd quite like to see some feeder series action in Brazil. And I know that Brazil, if we can't get Formula 2 there, which is not going to be next year, but things maybe if F1 Academy can go there instead. But all the other venues we've got on there, if we're going for no clashes with F2 and F3, we've got China, Japan, Miami, Canada, Singapore, Austin, Mexico, Brazil, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi. Any of those, six or seven of those, wouldn't be too bad. They're pretty decent overall. They seem to be doing all right, racing better racing than we've seen previous seasons so far. So any kind of configuration on that in a calendar would be all right, I think.
Yeah, listen, I've been crying out for, Timo, I've been crying out for Formula 2 or Formula 3 to go to Japan or to Sao Paulo or to COTA, for example. I think that would be brilliant. So yeah, if F1 Academy decides to go to one of those venues, I'll be very, very happy to see some feeder series action taking place at one of those venues. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a reason that F1 Academy are postponing the delay of their calendar. Maybe it's something sponsorship related. Maybe it's that they're just finalizing a few bits. I don't know. But yeah, I'm
I
excited to
hope
see
it's
that
that and not
calendar.
a case of 2.5 men of we've forgotten something important. What was it?
Yeah,
And it's F1
exactly.
Academy just looking around going, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, either that or it's hopefully not in the same position as W Series got to, where it couldn't wasn't sure it was continuing for the following year. I'm sure it's not because it's Formula
To
One back,
repeat Jacob
so.
from earlier, don't give them ideas.
Yeah, well, exactly. Definitely not. We don't want to see F1 Academy disappear. But yeah, I'm excited for that calendar. I'm really enjoying the F1 Academy season this season, actually. So yeah, definitely excited to see yeah, where they go in 2026.
Well, segue, if ever there was one, because if you're a fan of F1 Academy, Fraser, you're going to love this weekend, because we've got not two but three races, because we're making up for the one that we didn't get in Miami due to bad weather. Having it in Canada is potentially risky with what the weather can be like there at this time of year, and I don't want it to happen again, but if it did, it would be a little bit amusing to try and figure out how they then fix that, because you've already got one race delayed. And then what do you do with the next round? Six races and just pack it all in one go? That would be a bit of a mess. But that's back anyway. We don't know who the wild card driver is yet for this weekend, which is a shame. Probably means it's going to come out about 5 minutes after we finish recording this, as per
Yeah.
usual. But one of the good bit of news to come out of the World of F1 Academy is that Ella Loy is going to be driving for Neil McLaren at their Berlin rookie test for Formula E later in the year, which, fingers crossed that goes well, and after this test, we actually see one or two seats next season in Formula E taken up by some women drivers, because we had two tests prior to the season, and then nothing happened with it. And you kind of scratch your head going, well, what was the point of that? In some extent, if no one's willing to give one of them a try. But we'll try again this time.
Yeah, I think Formula E are doing a great job at that, by the way, aren't they? The rookie tests that they do and getting a lot of females into some of those seats, I think it's absolutely brilliant. So yeah, Ellie's had a great start to the season, obviously, a McLaren Junior. So yeah, really excited to see what she's going to do, not only this weekend in Montreal, but also in a Formula E. And you never know, is could she be a potential Formula E driver in the future? Who knows?
And so there's plenty of names there, and plenty of names from drivers from past seasons in F1 Academy that you'd think would be no-brainers to give them a go in Formula E as well if they can't get into Trekker or Formula 3 or something like this, and use the relationships you've got with the driver academies and network that way. But we're just going to have to be patient, unfortunately, on that one. But looking ahead to Canada in particular, Haas are celebrating their 200th race. I don't know if it feels like it's that they've been here longer or not at this point. It's hard to tell, but they've got a special livery that essentially harks back to their original livery way back 200 races ago, apparently. And the front wing is going to bear the name of all their employees on it. What do you guys both think of that? It looks pretty nice as terms of as liveries go. It's a nice kind of modern, old kind of livery there that they've got.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I have to remember back to when Haas actually came in, because I do remember they entered the first Grand Prix and they did actually change colours, I think, halfway through their first season. I think their original colours are actually white and red. So I might need to go and check back when they, because it was Grosjean that was driving, wasn't it? Grosjean that first year and Esteban Gutierrez. But it is one of their original colours. The grey is quite nice on it. It's a really nice touch they've added. The employees on the front wing. Hopefully the front wing doesn't fall off this weekend and there's bits scattered over the track, but being Haas, it's all possible.
If it was last year, I'd say there's a quite a big risk of that, but this year it's gone all right so far with the drivers they've got in their stable.
Yeah, they're doing all right this year, aren't they? Actually, Haas, to be fair. They haven't had so many incidents, but yeah, it looks nice. I think it's nice that we have a livery or a special livery because we've had a few of them recently, but I'm not hating it because the Ferrari one recently, where was that one? Do you know, it's so bad I
Miami.
couldn't even Miami, that was the one. Yeah, the Ferrari one was horrible. McLaren ones just they seem a bit naff these days and whatever else. So you know what, I looked at it, I thought, do you know what, that's a nice touch. It looks good. I can't wait to see what it's actually going to look like when it comes to free practice one.
Also got a couple of other bits I'm gonna ask you about there, then, as it's the Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. So let's see how good your combined knowledge is for this bit, because I'm gonna be mean like that. Buzz in when you know the answer, if you know the answer. When did Montreal first get added to the F1 calendar?
Oh, I'm gonna say 1977.
Or is it?
1980, 80, oh, 87, 1987.
Very, very wrong, Mr. Ford. Jacob, you're going to kick yourself. 1978.
Oh, I knew it was
One year
wrong.
off.
Oh dear. Oh no.
Which two tracks, sorry, preceded it on the calendar? Because it wasn't the first Canadian Grand Prix.
Okay, there was one called, I want to say Mosport Park or something. And then
Correct, that is one.
Mosport Park and the other one, I'm going to say a random city. Was there one in Toronto maybe years ago? Probably not, but
That
you know
was
what?
most sport.
Okay. Fraser, over to you. Let's do a combined.
I'm going to say it was a couple of laps around Niagara Falls and yeah, the idea was to avoid falling in. That's my guess because I have no idea, to be honest.
Well, the wet
I'm
tyres
thinking you're
certainly wouldn't
getting
have
this
held up
mixed up with
there.
Cooper Cape in Mario Kart, mate. I think that's the one you're thinking of. That was Saint-Gervais in Montreal as well, that one. So same city, different track. And obviously, Wall of Champions is ever present at this circuit. But which year did three champions
Oh,
crash out during the same Grand Prix? Oh, he knows this one. Go on.
1999.
You
Yeah,
know
nice one.
which drivers?
Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, and Jacques Villeneuve, was it?
He's back in the game. He's got some points
Yeah,
on the
there you go.
board.
My F1 history kind of doesn't really go beyond the 70s, so or the 80s. So yeah, there you go.
Should have got Aaron on for this from Inside F2, shouldn't we? He was there for most
Oh
of it.
mate, he'd have been like, wow, back in 1945, there was yeah, exactly. He'd given you a whole history lesson. So.
Finally, which two drivers, this is probably quite the easy bit, but which two drivers have been the most successful here? How many wins do they have apiece?
Okay, 7 wins apiece, and it's Schumacher and Hamilton.
But which one is actually the most successful on count back?
Ooh, I'm going to say Schumacher.
And I'll go the opposite, Hamilton, just to mix it up.
Schumacher on countback, two more podiums than Hamilton over his time there,
Nice.
but
That was
it's
a
not a
pure
bad
guess.
way of going about
It really could have been both of them, couldn't it? So that was a pure
quite
guess. But
easily.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
With that all out of the way, though, we should probably get some predictions in for this weekend, which is going to be notoriously difficult because it is Canada and we have seen some truly bonkers stuff here over the years. But with that said, pole position, Jacob, who are you going for?
Opposition, Oscar Piastri.
Let's check out Mr. Ford.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Lando Norris this weekend.
Yulia Norris.
It's going to be
Yes,
one
he
of the
has
two,
put
so it's a
in.
50-50.
Well, you say that. I mean, Jesse's thinking the same as you. He's put in a couple of predictions here. He's also put down Lando Norris for pole position. I'm going a bit left field. I've gone for George Russell. I'm basing it off maybe we get something a little bit like last year and Max isn't quite there and George somehow just pulls a lap out from nowhere and gets it. I'm not saying he wins though. That's me being not even that ambitious. And even for me, that's a bit too much there. But Ford, we'll stick with you again. Podium, going to be Norris win or is it going to be an upset?
Yeah, let's go and Norris win and Piastri second because I think the McLarens are looking mega at the moment. I think we kind of expected there or was, there was potential for there to be a bit of change in Barcelona, wasn't there, with the regs? But it didn't really seem to. It actually made McLaren look faster, to be honest. So yeah, let's go Lando
Yeah.
Norris first, Oscar Piastri second, and let's go Rogue. Let's go Kimi Antonelli on the podium.
Ooh, Antonelli, I like it. Jacob, what about yourself? Who are you going for?
Okay, Oscar Piastri is going to continue his fine form. He's going to convert the pole into a win. I'm not going to put Norris on the podium. I feel like we are due maybe a slightly more chaotic race. Certainly Canada can provide it. I'm yet to see the weather forecast, but that can always change things as well, especially in Montreal. So I'm going to say Norris is not going to be on the podium. I'm going to put Max in second, keeps Oscar Piastri honest up front. And I do feel it's time, and going back to the scenes of his first win in Montreal, I'm going to stick Lewis Hamilton on the podium.
Oh,
He can claw one of those podiums back on Schumacher and be one behind.
I
I'd love
like
to
the
see
thought
that.
of that. Yeah, definitely. I've gone for a Piastri win as well, but I've also gone then a bit left field, as is my way. Leclerc in second, and Russell will then convert his pole position into a third place.
Okay.
Jesse's gone for a Piastri win, Norris second, and Russell third. So very similar to you, Fraser, but he's got a different Mercedes on that bottom step of the podium. Crucially, though. And importantly for me in the overall championship and within the podcast, he's not put in any predictions for fastest lap and board prediction, which is excellent news for me because I've got more chance of succeeding here. Fastest lap, I'm going to go for Oscar Piastri. Fraser, who do you go for this? We still give a point for it even if they don't.
Yeah, great. I'm gonna go. Let's go. Lando Norris. He's gonna get pole. He's gonna get the
You're being
win.
consistent
And
here, aren't you? You're just
yeah, exactly.
sticking to
Yeah,
your guns.
I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. So if Lando doesn't win and to get pole and take fastest lap, then I'm gonna have egg on my face, aren't
I'm looking forward to seeing what your world prediction involving Lando Norris is going to
I?
be. Is it just making all of these other ones come true?
So yeah, Lando Norris to lap the field at least 3 times. So
Don't make me write it down just yet, but I will do it.
That's probably not the wildest prediction that's ever been on the
That's only because I'm here.
podcast either.
What about you, Jacob? Fastest lap?
Fastest lap. Since they've stopped giving the points out, I haven't really put much thought into it. So I'm going to say, why not Lewis Hamilton, put him on there.
Fair enough. I've gone for Oscar Piastri on my end. For the world prediction, Fraser, are we going for Norris laps everyone 3 times, or are you going to go for something else?
No, I'm not going to go for that. I am going to go for as a wild prediction. I actually don't think this is going to happen, but let's throw it in there anyway. Max Verstappen gets a penalty point and therefore has a race ban.
Very nice. I have the overall prediction for the season that at some point this weekend. And that includes up to the kind of the time the clock strikes midnight from Sunday to go up to Monday that he will just announce a sudden retirement from F1 because he's just
Retirement.
done with it. So if he gets this extra point on his super license, maybe that'll be you helping me get that prediction point for the overall
Potentially,
predictions.
he's still not. If he was like miles away from the champion, I know he's. Yeah, well, if McLaren win this weekend, will put him over 2 race wins away from. But he's not like 1 million miles away, and I can't see him retiring unless he's like completely out of contention personally. But yeah, listen, if he does get a race ban, Yeah, maybe that would tip him over the edge. I don't know, but I think it would be fascinating, wouldn't it? And I think it's a fascinating point going into this weekend. Is Max going to change his driving style to
No.
be a bit more safe? No, I don't think he will either. So therefore, could it happen? I can't see Max compromising and changing his driving style. So therefore, if there's an opportunity to dive down the inside and potentially take the lead, he's it's on, isn't it? He could potentially pick up points if it goes wrong. So.
Well, initially, when I made that prediction at the start of the season, it was because I knew that Kelly was going to have a baby at some point. And I just thought, you know what, fatherhood. You see how he went after winning the title in Vegas, and he seemed just on a whole other plane of existence then. And I just thought, he'll just get to a point and go, sod it, what am I doing this for? I don't need to prove anything. I've done all I need to do here. And instead, I've got this whole other narrative going on of him just getting angrier and angrier. Limplad suddenly gets a super license. I'm going, is this actually on? Point on something.
Can you imagine though? Sorry, Jacob. I know you're yet to do your wild prediction, so I think I've or hopefully I've given you some good thinking time here. But can you imagine if Max Verstappen does pick up, not if he picks up one penalty point for something silly, blocking someone in qualifying, for example, or if it is just the one penalty point, then one of those 12 penalty points that he's been banned for is back in. Do you remember back in Qatar when he got a penalty point for blocking Max? Sorry, for blocking George Russell when George Russell wasn't even on a hot lap. And that could potentially, if he gets two penalty points, then obviously that becomes irrelevant. But if he only picks up one penalty point and that's the thing that gets him a ban, then that is incredibly harsh because George Russell wasn't even on a hot lap. So,
I think we want it to be him blocking Russell again if it is going to be getting an entry for qualifying and just to bring it full circle.
imagine.
Jacob, what prediction for you then, if you can somehow navigate into all of that already?
Thanks, Fraser, for the thinking time there, because I was actually a little bit stuck on this one. And
Yeah.
mine does stay on the Max Verstappen thing. My wild prediction for this weekend is Max Verstappen commits an offence that is definitely penalty point worthy, but the FIA decide to gloss over it and create some reason that they don't give him a penalty point for, or there's mitigating circumstances, or they just fail to register it altogether, or something happens. But Max makes contact, but it's like a racing incident. But you think, on another day, Max maybe would have got a point had he only been on, for example, say 6 penalty points.
So they'll gloss over it like they did with Pierre Gasly last season,
And I
yeah?
think it took them a bit longer to give Magnussen penalty points when he was nearing the ban as well than it should have done. So
Yeah.
something along those lines. They might be a bit more lenient now he's close to ban. Because also, I suppose in a way, Max Verstappen being banned, it does not that it should. Obviously, if you commit these offences, you should definitely get the points. But maybe in the FIA's head, if Max Verstappen misses a race, how do viewing figures get affected? Maybe you lose a bit of action up front. So maybe they might think, oh, we didn't see anything. They turn a blind eye sort of scenario.
I totally agree, Jacob. I think they're going to do everything they can not to give him a ban, aren't they? How bad would it look for the sport
Now
if
watch
Max
him do
Verstappen
everything possible to try and
to
get a
get a ban?
ban.
Yeah, exactly. He just wants a race off to go and spend time with his family or something. But no, I just think it would look horrendous for the sport if a four-time world champion gets a race ban. I think they're going to do everything they can not to give him a ban.
I agree.
I just go back to last year, say Justice Magnussen, the overtake on Sargeant was always on in Miami. I don't know what they were thinking. I've gone for the world prediction of Hamilton winning the Canadian Grand Prix. I'm going to have that to countermand by my earlier prediction, just in case. And the weird logic behind it is something I saw earlier today, which is apparently, football, so you guys will like this. Every time Ronaldo's won an international tournament, Hamilton has won the next Grand Prix. It happened in July 2016 and June 2019. And early this month, Ronaldo won, I think it was a Nations League Cup or something like that. This is about
It
as versed
was.
in football as I'm going to get.
Did
But
he
this
did?
is the next Grand Prix, so maybe it's on for hammer time again in Canada.
Could be.
That is a great stat, Timo. I had no idea
I
about
wish
that.
I
Now
could take
you,
credit for it.
yeah, you pulled that out of the bag. That's yeah, very good.
So we have all the wild predictions happen at the very least. Well, actually, I'm not sure how both of yours happen. It's going to have to be they initially decide to rule against it and then give it later. But if they can all happen, then we're in for a fun weekend. But Canada really disappoints, I feel like. So we're in for a good one, regardless, I think. Which hopefully is not me screwing that all up for all of us this weekend.
Yeah, we've said it before and it can disappoint, but I think it'll be a very good weekend.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think we're in for a good one. I think we've had a few races of Yeah, it's not quite been as entertaining as usual, is it, with Monaco and Barcelona? So I'd like to think we're going to bounce back with a even if it's not an absolute banger, even a good race will look good, won't it, compared to the last. I say that Barcelona up until the last 10 laps. I'd like to caveat that, but
That's how we do sprint races. Oh, damn it. There we go. We finally
yeah.
solved it.
Definitely. By the way, the weather does look good, Jacob, in answer to your question. It looks all right. I think there's rain due on Monday potentially, so it could potentially cross over to Sunday, but I think it's looking dry at the moment by the looks of it, so
Oh,
fingers
so it's a
crossed either
shame.
way.
But it's one of those tracks that doesn't really always need rain to make it good. And as we've seen with the FIA in recent years, too much rain causes too much of a problem anyway. So sometimes no rain is better.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Undercut Podcast. We'll be back next week for a review of the Canadian Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Fraser, where can you be found in the meantime for a bit more of your content?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hear my boring voice a little bit more, you can head over to Inside F2. We've got a podcast where that's called The F2 Show, and we review every round of the Formula 2 season. And you can also go and check out Formula 2 on social media at Inside Formula 2 on Instagram and at Inside F2 on X and basically every other social media channel.
Jacob, yourself.
You can find me over on X, as it's now called, at JacobPhil18. Or if you're lucky enough, you might find me frequenting a pub in the Hampshire area or beyond, somewhere around that's serving alcohol.
Lovely stuff. As for myself, you can find me over on Instagram, t.albert.data on the curbs, where you'll find links to all of my work across the motorsport world. I've got he's coming out in the morning, previewing this weekend's IndyCar Grand Prix with Scott McLaughlin, and there's an interview out there with Turkish rally driver Serkan Sagiroglu, which I probably butchered her name. I do apologise, but that's the best I'm going to get on that one with some practice. So go and check that out anyway. And as I said, we'll be back to review the Canadian Grand Prix next week.
Life is unpredictable. But how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.